We are in an age of new things. This is Dr. Harrell Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. We are in an age of new things. Well, every age is an age of new things. Every age. We've been watching this beautiful rendition of Swan Lake from China, the Chinese ballet, I believe it was. And it's beautifully done. And we have seen Swan Lake, the ballet, many, many times, and it was gorgeous. Swan Lake, done traditionally, isn't that a nice word, traditionally? Swan Lake, done traditionally, is about as glorious as you could ever imagine. It is such magic of dancing, movement of the body, movement of the body to the music, movement of the choreography of all of the dancers dancing together, lying down like a beautiful swan on the lake. How beautiful. And then we saw last night, or we saw the other day, Swan Lake, done by the Chinese ballet. And it was a little different. It was a little different. It started out, according to all the traditions of the ballet, the dancers were dancing beautifully, romantically, rhythmically, their bodies were lithe and young. They were all like they were maybe about 16-year-old ballet dancers, but of course the Chinese are smaller people, so perhaps they were older, and I'm sure they were. But they all had the bodies that could just bend and twist and do things that no human being would ever imagine he could do. But they did it, and they were glorious. And then the music went on. The stagecraft was magic. The lighting was terrific. And all of the choreography just sent shivers down your back as you watched these girls and saw how beautifully they danced. But then the prima donna, the dancer delight, came out, and her arms were flowing like a beautiful river, and her legs seemed to flow also like that as she danced. And she came center stage. And as she came center stage, the man who played the role with her was standing behind her. And he was built very strongly, you could see he had lots of muscles. A well-built young man, just really well-built, not overly built, you know, not like muscles that were extending from a gymnastic, that is from a weightlifter type thing, but muscles that were flowed with his body, and he was a short man, and it was just beautiful. Well, you looked at him and you thought, my, I wonder why he needs to be so muscular. The thought goes through the back of your mind. You know, you don't really know that you're having that thought, but it's going through your mind, and you're watching, and you're thinking to yourself, what is this? What is this? But what's going to happen next? And then, all of a sudden, the two are dancing together. And he is doing the traditional holds on her as she bends forward and bends back, and as she swings out, and as she dances away from him and comes back to him. And then all of a sudden, she's on top of his shoulders. She had already swum. She swum through his arms like a lovely fish going right through the arms of a man held out there. And you say, what did she do? I'd never seen that done in Swan Lake before. What did she do? I never saw that done on the ballet stage before. What did she do? And so you begin watching very closely, and the camera fortunately brings you up right in there close. And as you watch, she and he are as one body, rhythmically flowing, not sexually, not in any way naughty in any frame of reference, but just beautiful. They flowed like two beautiful fish in a pond going by each other. And then, at one point, she was up on his shoulder. She had a foot on each shoulder, and his shoulders were muscular. But she was on the tip of her ballet shoes on his shoulders. Then she threw her leg around in the air, and her leg was out over nowhere, standing on one shoulder. And then she leaned, and then she pirouette, and she did many other beautiful stances. And then she stood on his head with 2 feet first, and then 1 foot. And then she did a flip in the air on top of his head, coming down on his shoulders. She did everything that had never been done, not wasn't allowed, but had never been done in ballet before. She did what she and he were magically suited to do together. They were magically suited to be a beautiful expression of beauty and goodness. Magically suited to be a beautiful expression of beauty and goodness. I will send you the link for the ballets, for the YouTube ballet, so that you can see it if you watch or hear my talk today and wonder what it was because you hadn't seen it. But when you see it, you'll say to yourself, my. And then you'll say, why wasn't this done before? Surely there were magical people before who danced ballet, whose choreography was so utterly fantastic that it could know no bounds. They wanted to fly in the air, they wanted to soar, they wanted to dance across the floor like the Russian women. They wear these long skirts and they move across the floor as though they're sliding across the floor. But each one of them are going on their tippy toes and they're floating across the floor, but you can't see their feet because their dresses are so long. When I watched the Russian ballet in Russia many years ago, it was so beautiful to see that. And I thought, I had never seen that before. And yet, I'm sure somewhere it was done. Now, what is the magic of this Swan Lake that the Chinese have done? The Chinese, you would think, would be people who were stuck on tradition a great deal. But this was going contrary to tradition in a tremendous way. Going contrary to tradition in every way possible. And yet, somehow they were allowed to do it. Do you think the ballet schools are going to be satisfied with what they've taught in the past? They know now it can be done. Just a short time ago, the 4-minute mile was something very exquisite. For a racer to run a mile in 4 minutes was thought to be the most outstanding quick thing done in the world. And today, the 4-minute mile is being run by many a gymnast, many a marathon runner, many a person who runs a short race. Amazing. But only because we have soared on the wings of angels, only because we have let go of the past, which says there are limits, which says there is no way. We were just talking about Obama. Yesterday I talked about him, and then I understand that other people have been talking about him too, and how wonderful. If Obama were allowed to be himself, as Roosevelt was allowed, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he came into office, the country was in depression and everything was going to pot. There was nothing. And what did he do? He gave the men and women of America respect by giving them a job. Oh, the jobs were menial. The jobs were building bridges. The jobs were using their hands because they didn't have a lot of equipment and going out in the Civil Conservation Corps and other organizations such as that. And there was no money. But he paid them. The government paid them. There was no money. and yet it was done. Here in the United States, we have no money. We're in great debt. And yet we go out and we offer money to other nations who are having trouble because they need it. We're offering people in the world, in the United States, who need to have health care. We're offering them health care from the government's coffers, which it means your pocket and mine. Now, if Obama were to continue to have the support that he had when he first went in office, to carry out his dreams, oh, true, they're expensive, but they're no more expensive than what they're doing in other ways, in the wars that they're putting on, in the military things that they're doing, in the race to the moon. What's the race to the moon? I mean, it's a lovely thing to do and wonderful. There are many people who say, that's very important. Well, is health care important? Is feeding the poor important? Is tending to your sheep important? And Jesus said, one was lost, and the shepherd went out to find the one and brought him back. Now, Obama is much like the shepherd who is going out and taking care of his sheep. And the sheep of America are definitely sheep. Right now, they're having an interesting situation going on in Wisconsin and a number of other states where they're coming in and wanting to cut the taxes and cut other costs. And so they cut down things, and they say that the union wages are so high that they're causing problems. And so this is not right, not wrong, but it's something that's happening. Now, what good is going to come out of it? Well, what good is going to come out of it is that they're going to find that they can do the ballet step that they were told they could not do. They're going to find they can go out and feed the poor, and take care of their own. Now, would a father be thought well of who goes out and feeds the neighbor's children and lets his own children starve? Yeah. What would you think of that father? What would you think of that mother? What would you think of the mother who goes and gets a job and doesn't tend to the bringing up of her children? That they need television, they need these things in their house, they need them. Not one. But a dozen televisions in each of the children's rooms. Oh boy, isn't that wonderful? Now, you don't compare it to how it was when you were a child, because that's a different circumstance. But in our home, we all gathered around the radio. In our home, we spent the evenings together as a family. In our home, our father worked very hard, but mother was home. And there were some tough times when it would have been nice if mother could have had a job and brought in money too. But mother cut back. She cut back on our expenses to live within our means. Now, what's going on with the Obama, the golden-voiced Obama, who speaks with such beauty and such charm? What's going on with the great Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who had his fireside chats and talked to the people and told them what was going on in the government, told them the good, the bad, and the indifferent? They kept him in office as long as they could, and he died in office. Amazing man. Oh, he did some things wrong. He did more things right. And you and I, now, you want to look at the moral life of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You say, well, he had a woman, and also with his wife. And he had a secretary, this woman. And this woman worked for him around the clock because he was in a wheelchair, and he couldn't get up and do things. And she was very sensitive and very caring about him and very loving toward him. And so right away the press made a thing out of it and said that it was his lover. How evil can we be? Mm-hmm. And the man who wrote Peter Pan, because he spent time with this lady and her children as he was loving the children and loving the lady and loving it, because it was part of his story, part of the story of Peter Pan that he's writing. And people began to talk and say that, what was he doing with these boys? What naughty things was he doing with these boys? Right away, people want to put labels on things instead of thinking the good. All they have to do is go there and spend some time with him while he's being with these children, while he's being with this lady. The respect and honor that he showed to them was the respect and honor he showed to himself. Always follow your heart. Always dream your dream. And if your dream says, let's try a new ballet step here, one that has never been done. Oh, it's like an acrobatic type thing. We saw Around the World in 80 Days, and Cantafloss was in there, and he got aboard the balloon, much like he'd get aboard his circus, and he climbed up the rigging. He said, it wasn't scary to him, because this was something he did as he tightrope walked across the line high in the sky. But you see, now he did something else. But what did he do that made you most happy about him? What did Cantafloss do that made you feel such a closeness to this most unusual fellow? He was honorable. He carried this money around with him. It was no interest to him. He carried it around in this garish traveling bag. And as he carried it around, he watched it for his master. And he took care of it, and he bought things and spent things as he was told. Never once, we would have seen it, never once putting any of it in his own pocket. Never once thinking that he was not being paid enough to do the things he had to do. Never once. Always being honorable. You see, honor, trust, integrity, these things can never be compared. You can try to destroy the honor and the integrity. They tried to say that Around the World in 80 Days he was a bank robber, you know, and they couldn't. They found the person who was, and they let him out of jail. He thought he was let out of jail too late. He forgot that he went around the world backwards, and so he made up a day that he hadn't planned on making up. Now, he surely should have known that, but he didn't. And so he got to his point of final conclusion with seconds to spare. And he's always a very timely man. Did any of the members try to welch on their loan or on their bid or on their agreement with him? Nope. Because they were men of honor. Can you see for yourself a goal that you feel is worthwhile? Are you going to run that 4-minute mile, or are you going to run the 3.5-minute mile? Are you going to say that you are so old that you're decrepit and that you're no longer able to do things, or are you going to say, I am young, dynamic, alive? Are you going to say that I cannot get up and walk merely because it's more comfortable not to get up and walk? Or are you going to say, I am young, dynamic, alive, I am youthful? Are you going to say, I have panic in my heart for something that happened back when I was a child and you don't even remember what it was, and you never will? Are you going to live in the past? Or are you going to live in the now? Are you going to remember your dad the way he was? And he was a good man. But he was not a good man, because you only remember the obvious about him. You don't remember what he really was like. Well, now start imagining your father as the ideal father, and you'll say, yeah he was. But no, right now you don't think of him as the ideal father. You only think of him as what you remember. Hence, our remembering is not always that good. Our remembering for anything that we do is limitation. Dream your wildest dream. Climb every mountain. Swim every sea. We can do anything we want to do. Wouldn't it be more wonderful to come to the last moment of our life while we are climbing our highest mountain? Wouldn't it be wonderful to finish the Swan Ballet and the curtains closed and you expire when you're in your last movement? You have done what you set out to do. Your heart is fulfilled. You have done whatever you can do. I say yes. And I say, as for myself, with unconditional love, I'm doing this in every way of my life. And sometimes a parent has to say no to their child out of unconditional love. Not out of anger or hatred or lack of respect for the child, but no, you can't do that. Now, where do you stand on this? Where do you stand? We have one student we have helped over the years, 30 years, and we have helped this person very much, very regularly. We bless this person. And now this person has come to the point where they haven't been getting their own way, and so they're acting like a belligerent child. And so I will not treat them like a belligerent child. I will treat them like a mature adult who is not following the rules. And when they don't follow the rules, there's nothing I can do about it. If you come to the monastery and don't follow the rules of being a monk, then there's nothing I can do about it. If you don't follow the rules when it says that you have to do certain things, then you have to do it. If your body says you have to go potty and you don't go to the bathroom, you're going to have a mess. Now, you're not going to have an accident, that's what we call it, but you're going to have an incident, and you're not going to like it. Now, this young man who is feeling belligerent and feeling unhappy, we're going to write him and say, you're no longer welcome in our house. Because in our house is only honesty, integrity, love, and respect. And of all things, respect for the father, respect for the mother, respect for the sisters and brothers. And that means, in a monastery, it's respect for the head of the organization and who's running it and the members of it. In a home, it's respect for mommy and daddy and sisters and brothers. It's family. Now, what role are you playing? Do you have that respect within you for yourself, for your home, for your family, for your world? Are you going to be the ballet dancer who moves into another mood, another mode, another action that has never been done before? And will you do it in a way that is more beautiful than has ever been done before? And the choreography of your life demonstrates just who you are. Obama didn't take office because he was nothing. He took office because he was very much a something who knew what he was doing, who had a dream, whose dream, like Martin Luther King, was more valid because his dream was in fact. Martin Luther King had a dream that had to be revealed, and that's great too. But Obama's dream was a bunch of facts that he gave to the people, and now he's trying to carry them out, and just the politics alone of the nation seem to be at odds with him. And if we say to the politics of the nation, all is in divine order, we are all working together for one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Pretty wonderful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.